Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So guys, before we get started, the main premise of this episode, as you guys see Andy McNamara to my right, was going to be fantasy football. But before we talk about fantasy football, I want to talk about two things. And no, it's not about what happened Sunday afternoon. It's about a coach that has really improved me this year and impressed me, which has resulted in the city of Cleveland getting a thing called Flacco fever. Andy, do you want to count on that? My thing, by the way, I just want to say too, is giving Kevin Stefanski his flowers is going from the hottest of seats to probably the coldest of seats in the NFL.
Well, and with that, like Griff, I would sprinkle right now. You look at different sports books, you get plus 1400 on Coach of the Year award honors for Kevin Stefanski right now.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. If he, and hopefully the Browns do get to the playoffs, let's say they get the top wild card seed, and you're able to say with four different, not just four different quarterbacks playing, four different quarterbacks winning, which is the first time that's been done since Houston did it in 2015, and only seven times, I think, total before that. You win, you get that top wild card spot. How can you not give him Coach of the Year, especially if you have Houston start to dwindle a bit with DeMeco Ryans and the Detroit Lions limping to the finish?
I want to say this about Detroit, because I know everyone all year has been, it's Dan Campbell's award. For me, with him, it always had to be, you had to win so much. You had to, like, you know, get the number one seed, be what San Francisco is. Detroit's not that. So I think personally, his is like kind of out of the window for Coach of the Year. I'm looking on FanDuel right now. He still is the favorite, but I see your boy right there at plus 1,100 on FanDuel, actually. And I really, him at plus 1,100 or Shane Steichen at plus 600 are the two that I really am eyeing right now.
Yeah, Steichen's interesting as well, depending how they finish up. But man, four QBs.
Yeah.
And it's Joe Flacco off the couch.
The one thing I want to say about that too is your defense this year. Jim Schwartz, I feel like, is the defensive coordinator that Cleveland's been yearning for years.
Yes. Now. Oh my gosh. Yes, yes, yes. And it's interesting though. At home, they are a top-ranked defense. On the road, not so much. So they play Chicago this week in Cleveland. So that's good. But it's like on the road. And they just had Maurice Hurst, one of the rotational defensive linemen, go to IR. Denzel Ward is supposed to be coming back, Pro Bowl corner. Miles has a banged-up left shoulder, but he can still be effective. So it's kind of at this point, man, we just see players just falling on the IR all over the place. It's a battle of attrition. Whoever's the healthiest might win this damn thing.
I'm going to say this about your game Sunday. I think right now you guys are plus minus 3.5 going into it against Chicago. Mm-hmm. I would take that just because I feel like everyone's going to be on Chicago for what they did on Sunday.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you don't look at them as like, look, the Bears are doing so good. But then it's kind of that game where when I look at these, because this is a defensive, if you want a defensive dogfight this Sunday, that is what you're going to get. The Chicago Bears, one of the more underrated defensive units in all of the NFL, and Cleveland, one of the more prominent defensive units. So this game's really going to be one. What quarterback can turn the ball over the least? And honestly, I trust Joe Flacco right now more to keep the ball secure than I do Justin Fields. For as good as Fields has looked, he's very turnover prone, and we know Cleveland's got some dogs in the secondary.
Well, oh yeah, MJ Emerson too. My goodness, oh, it's a couple interceptions. You got Greg Newsome cooking back there as well. Anthony Walker's causing some havoc. The Browns have struggled against mobile quarterbacks, which will be interesting to see how they handle, how they've grown and learned from that with Justin Fields, because the return of Denzel Ward is, I cannot overstate it enough. You put Denzel Ward in, you get rid of DJ Moore. You shut down DJ Moore, you shut down. Then you really just have Cole Kmet, and Browns have been burned by tight ends, but you could put an MJ Emerson. You can have JOK as the spy on Fields. The key really is Ward being back, being effective, being healthy and staying in. Because outside of that, then you're just forcing Fields to either run or throw it up to just a bunch of guys, right? So that keeping that in mind with Denzel Ward getting back in, hopefully very important.
So that's a big thing too, because honestly, and we'll talk about this in the fantasy perspective, but DJ Moore, he's been a great player this year. Cole Kmet, too, has been a very underrated tight end for fantasy football this year. Because when he signed a 4-year, I think $50 million contract. I was like, is he really worth it? And then this year he's kind of showing, hey, this is why he's worth it. But no, you guys are kind of set up now to where I was saying Kevin Stefanski's seat was hot just because there's the whole what's going on with Watson. If they do bad, they're just going to get rid of him and throw him to the curb and bring in someone that Watson wants. Now, no matter what Watson wants after this offseason, Stefanski has secured his future in Cleveland, in my opinion, for at least, I would say, 24 and 25. Like, next year, it would have to go, like, off the rails, Brandon Staley bad, or even what's going on with my team bad for something like talks like that to happen, which we've really traded. You and I have traded places this year, and I don't think you're totally mad about that.
Well, I'll need a Super Bowl first to truly be in your shoes, my friend. Yeah.
I meant in the sense of like playoff contention in the month of December more than Super Bowl. And like, I'm looking at draft picks already.
Oh man. That's going to be interesting in New England. Quick side point is like, Belichick's got to go, right? They'll have a graceful exit. They're not going to fire Bill.
Oh God.
No. But don't you think this is it?
There's two sides to this. There's an angel and there's a devil on my shoulder. There's one going, he's going to go with a new coach. There's a small part of me still starting to believe now that Robert Kraft could bring him back because he knows about him wanting to break Shula's record. And if he were to go off and do that somewhere else, it's so mixed emotions. Like, I know it's what's right, but at the same time, too, it's that, like, I can see it happening more than I saw Tom returning to New England in 2020. So I think it can go either way. I just think that some sort of change is going to happen. To what extent, I don't know. I'll also say this right now. It's not coming Black Monday. It's not like, you know how you see some coaches where it's like right away, boom, kick to the door, goodbye. Presumably what's going to happen to Brandon Staley on Black Monday, probably Ron Rivera. That's not what's going to happen. This is going to be, you know, that random Tuesday news drop. Like, remember when Tom Brady's announcement of leaving was on St. Patrick's Day, the first day we were all really stuck home doing absolutely nothing with COVID.
Yeah.
It's going to be something similar to that where it's like a random news bomb at like 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. Like maybe between, like I can see, I would take the week either between the Super Bowl and the Championship Sunday or the week of Championship Sunday, just so New England finds their way into the news spectrum, you know, where it's kind of like, you're in a bar, you're having a drink with your friend, and that loud drunk called the New England Patriots just walks in and is super obnoxious. That's how I see it playing down.
Yeah. It will not be fired. It will be mutual parting of the ways. He's earned that. You know, like Belichick's attitude, you know, leaves a lot to be desired, but come on. The thing is, though, he's got to win. He's old. He's like, what, 70, 71?
70, he's 72, and I think he'll be 73 before the start of next year.
You got to win 10 games. If you win over the next 3 years, 10 games, you break the record. But you're in New England with this team. Like, is this, you know, he could go. Like, I think Belichick will die on the field if given the choice. But at this rate, he's going to have to coach till he's 85.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because it's 16 wins away from the record. So even if they were to play 500 ball, that's still another 2 years from now. That would be until I think the earliest he breaks it is 2025. I don't see it happening next year unless he lands on a team and they just go like 16-1. But I feel like one loss NFL teams are very rare, even now, especially with a 16 game, 17 games, you're just adding that extra game in. It's completely rare. I feel like the best record going forward is always going to be 14-3. So even if he goes 14-3, it's still 2025 that he's going to break it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes. But as for fantasy football this year, I asked this question to my guest, Phil, on Friday. I want your opinion on it because I said this to him and we both agreed. I have two players in mind already for 2024 I can see going first overall. I just want to see who you think those two players are or who do you think are the first two players that could go number one in fantasy.
Oh, boy. Well, this year was the big mix, right, where it was the wide receiver talk instead of the running back. And, you know, Justin Jefferson, if he didn't get hurt, was right on track for that this year. But he got banged up, came back, you know, got hurt again. Let's see. You know, when you look at it, are you going to be going running back? Like I could probably say Christian McCaffrey again. Like that wouldn't be crazy. Derrick Henry's definitely out of the conversation. You know, would I go with Justin Jefferson? Ooh, off of the injuries, he's probably faded a bit. I'd have to probably say Christian McCaffrey, but I can be persuaded elsewhere, but that's where my head goes to right now.
So CMC is one of the players that I have in mind. The other one is Tyreek Hill. I think he's done enough to show that like he could go, but like this year, for example, like the one draft I was in, it went Jefferson 1, I took Chase at 2, and then I believe Tyreek Hill went 4th and CMC went 3. Austin Eckler's a guy that I think's dropped his draft. His draft stock has dropped significantly. But one player, I made this take to you last August, and now it's aged like fine. Well, my takes are like wine. They take a while to age. But David Montgomery as a late round pick.
Oh, you hit that one,
year,
man.
I was a year early. I can say that. I was a year early on David Montgomery. But I think for all the people out there that were Gibbs truthers, it's going to be next year that your wishes are going to come true immediately because we're seeing now how explosive and fast this kid is.
Yeah, you got to get him more touches. I'm just looking right now, different league leaders. Like Tyreek Hill, I don't disagree with. I think CeeDee Lamb you could make a case for.
I wouldn't say
maybe not first overall, but like
top I'd say top three. 10.
You know, like if you go Tyreek, Christian McCaffrey, flip-flop, boy, CeeDee Lamb, top five. I'd put him top five right now. I'd put him top five.
One player to you, though, that I did say earlier this year, like, don't draft him so high, but I feel like next year is the year to buy in on him as well as another rookie, and that's Bijan Robinson, because I've seen
nice
so many
people. Season.
Because so many people were, like, in on him, and I'm like, I don't like a first-round grade for a running back, like, for a rookie running back, and so many people got burned on him by miscoaching, so that if Arthur Smith is fired, you get the right coach in there, he's going to be a player that will explode for you immediately. I don't see him as a first-round pick next year. I feel like there's going to be some buyer's remorse to where he could fall to the 2.1, 2.3 or 4 region. Like, you know, so if you're snaking back around, you're picking like in a 10-man league, you're picking like 13th or 14th. He probably will be right there, in my opinion. And another guy, too, who I feel like his draft stock has plummeted for next year is Travis Kelce. Like, I know a lot of people were giving him a first-round grade, but this year he's been very, very up and down when it comes to fantasy football, especially to Patrick Mahomes, which I saw a tweet today. Did you know that Sam Howell has more fantasy points this year than Patrick Mahomes?
Isn't that crazy? I saw that. And that in the last two of the three games, Tommy DeVito has more fantasy points than Patty Mahomes. How about that?
That is something else.
Who had that prediction going? Tommy DeVito and his Goodfellas agent, which is like the best thing maybe ever. Like that is like that had to be played. There's no way that guy is a real agent. Come on.
I did Google agent and a photo of the guy came up, but I'm just like, there's no way that he dresses like that regularly. For all we know, he does.
You know what? I'm going to believe, Griff, I'm going to believe he does because that makes me happy inside. I'm going to believe he does. And he's sitting back there in a smoke-covered room with like a cheap whiskey beside. It's like, come on, Tommy's worth it. Come on, come on. You know, it's just like gruff voice. Just so good.
I will say this too, though. The DeVito story, in my opinion, though, only works because of where he's playing. If he was playing say, for your Cleveland Browns, it's not as big.
No.
The fact that it's a Jersey kid from Jersey who's purely 100% Italian, you know, with
If he's in California, no one cares.
Exactly. It's the fact that he's home in Jersey. Like, and so I'll say this, too. Like, because that's the thing, too. When you look at fantasy, like, I would not touch him for fantasy football unless you seriously need him for your playoff runs. But what was I going to say? That's a team all in all, the Giants, where it's just like there's a lot of buyer's remorse there too. Like Saquon Barkley's had a good year, not a great year. Darren Waller's been up and down with injuries. And they got a quarterback situation next year because it's like, what are they going to draft? You got to pay Daniel Jones. So the Giants are a very tricky team on their own. But for right now, I feel like they're enjoying this. It's kind of that enjoying the story considering how bad the start of their year was.
And so bad. The only fantasy person I'm interested in on the Giants is Saquon Barkley. That's it. I don't really blame Darren Waller.
No.
Darren Waller should have been an absolute fantasy stud. Should have been. If Daniel Jones wasn't such a train wreck and the injuries didn't come up, he should have been great because he was the only option. There's nobody else there. The Giants stink when it comes to fantasy football. I'm not interested. Not interested at all if your name's not Saquon Barkley. And even then, he's falling. Like, Griff, he's going to be falling into RB2 territory this point in his career with always the looming injury bug around him.
But that's the thing, though. And now, too, I think he's going to get another chance somewhere else to go and, you know, really shine and be able to be able to shine and kind of show his skill set off. But I would agree with you. I feel like Saquon Barkley, he's fallen into that, like, you know, round two, later round two, early round three kind of running back, that territory, you know, where you could probably find next year, like Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry. And these are all guys, too, who at one point in their careers were solid first round picks.
Oh, some first overall pick. And Griffin, let's look at it this way here. Okay. So we're saying a bunch of guys, second round. Who are the first round running backs for next year?
CMC.
Got to be CMC. Yeah. Check.
I probably think people are going to jump on Gibbs for that just because they've seen it's that like towards the end. Like,
yeah.
I have a spicy take on this, but Raheem Mostert.
Mostert, but with a Shane coming up, like I don't disagree, but Mostert's had a hell of a year. Shane's there. What about Rashad White? Sneaky dominant year. Like you look at his fantasy output, man. Holy cow. White has been phenomenal. Like it takes me by surprise because I get, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks, it's this NFC South. Like, you know, you don't necessarily pay attention, but you look at what Rashid White has done. Holy, like just fantasy point wise, it's been once you got, he had two bad weeks, week one and three and six. The rest have been high teens, mid teens, a couple 20s. Like, man, where you probably were able to get him. I'm not saying Rashad White first round pick, but just in general, like this is a guy I want some shares of.
I'm on a site called Fantasy Pros right now just because I want to look up top 10 overall, but I went to the running back page. So I'm going to go from 10 to 1, actually 1 to 10. So it's McCaffrey and Mostert. Third, and this is a guy I think that's a first round pick that I got in the third round this year, but Travis Etienne.
Yep. He's popped back nicely.
He's had a few rough weeks, but for the most part, his weeks are at least 13 points. He's had a few weeks in single digits. Derrick Henry's fourth. Another guy who I think could be a first-round pick next year. From the LA Rams, Kyren Williams.
Yeah, that's going to be – you know what? Kyren Williams is going to be a hot pickup. I really like what he's done there. I got him a couple of my teams, and I'm thrilled. He's somebody that could really pop up. I could see that being a first round pick. I bet you end of the first round, Bijan Robinson still gets in. What about Breece Hall? You know, who you feel bad for, him and Garrett Wilson. My gosh.
Breece Hall's a player I said to not buy on because I was worried about his ACL. And that's a take that I was so wrong on. Breece Hall, he came back and it was like he had never torn his ACL before. Like I gave him all the props in the world.
That's the problem.
He's still in the top 20. He has more points right now than Saquon Barkley in fantasy.
Like, imagine if he had a good offensive line. Like, this is, you know, it's something where if the Jets make some dramatic changes at the O-line, which if you have Aaron Rodgers, you should, and get vastly better. Like, Breece Hall's stock has to go up there, but you have him. Tony Pollard, I think, really, this was the year to discover what he is. And to me, this is a nice RB2. High RB2, not an RB1.
One player I want to ask you about because it's close to home for you, but where do you place Nick Chubb for next year?
Oh, boy. I know. We know when he's healthy, that's a top dog right there. That's a first-round pick. Now, the trouble is he had to have the MCL surgery, then the ACL surgery. So he's had two. So he will be back in 2024. They said we'll be back for it at some point in the 2024 season. We don't know when that is. Now, we know Nick Chubb is a physical freak, will be training his butt off, is still in the facility and around the team every day. Doesn't take a day off. Phenomenal. So I feel when he comes back, he should be rebuilt and great. But when does that happen? When, you know, is it week two? Is it week three? Is it five? Like that's gonna knock him down a bit. So until we get clarity on that, it's tough. If you were to wave your wand and say, hey, he's good to go. For next year, and he's back with the surgeries, I'd take him at the back end of a first round.
I would, you know what? That's still potential. I know a lot of people got burned on it this year with Travis Kelce, who I was looking up tight ends. It's weird, but he's still number one overall for points. But with Nick Chubb, I completely agree with you. If you have him there in the back of half of the first round, like if you're sixth, seventh, eighth overall, and he's right there for the taking, I don't think there's buyer's remorse there. I think it could be, oh, hey, you could have had player X over him, but it's just the big potential is just too strong to pass on for a running back like Nick Chubb. Because like you said, he's fully healthy. He's that kind of guy that will potentially win you a championship. Yeah. He's that good of a player.
And we'll have to withhold our full sort of judgment on that until we get more clarification on a likely return date.
That's exactly
it. Back in the summer. Well, you know, once we're hitting July, we should have a ballpark. And once we get that, then we can make a better decision, I think, on. But you're right. Yeah. If he's like, if he's there, or like, hey, he'll start week two, back end of first round.
Exactly. And then with the tight end market, so a take that I had for you that's come true, because I'm looking at the stats right now, is that George Kittle is tight end two. I said that in August. I'm like, he's going to be tight end two in fantasy, and he is there right now. He's only 3.3. So Travis Kelce is 117.6. Kittle is 117.3. So they both average about 9 points a game for fantasy football. But those aren't the players I want to talk about. There's a player that has cracked the top 10 that has really been booming lately and had a really good game on Sunday. And you're going to love this because it's your boy, David Njoku.
Oof. Ooh, two tutties. Now, he had drop problems. He got the yips for a couple of weeks, though.
And Njoku's 21 points on Sunday.
Oh, I know. Believe me, him and Flacco. Let's go. Right? Like, I'm thrilled. My question is, for Njoku, he has taken steps forward, which is good. He's been in the league since he was 20 years old, and he's like 26, 27 now. So he's still – he's just like in reaching his prime now as a tight end, really, traditionally. And there's still more to take. Has some drop issues sometimes, but he is – you saw the stiff arm this week. Just a physical freak. I love it. He's somebody where I think he has – his value has gone up from where it was last year, but he's still not consistent enough. And really, it depends. Like, for the Browns next year, you have to restart again with Deshaun Watson, you know? And don't – but quick side note. I don't want to hear any more of this rust crap out of Deshaun Watson camp. Joe Flacco got off his couch, hadn't played since the Jets in 11 months. That dude looked phenomenal, okay? Looked great. No more rust excuse, Deshaun, okay? Get up. Get moving. Let's go.
I love the enthusiasm. No more rust excuses.
No.
But I'm also to another tight end that has really impressed me this year as well is Sam Laporta's low hanging fruit, Trey McBride.
Well, Sam Laporta
from Arizona. I was like, Sam Laporta is low hanging fruit to say he's he's tight end four right behind Hockenson right now. But Trey McBride's tight end 12. So if you want to wait and draft a solid tight end later in your draft next year, and also I say this too because I think Kyler is going to be the quarterback in Arizona next year. I don't think they're moving on from him. Trey McBride right there, probably still there. And Ron's like, you know, 8, 9, and 10 when stuff starts to kind of dwindle down because he's that player that only, like, the real football guy is going to look at and go, this. Some people are going to see Trey McBride in Arizona and go, but then we see this year where it's like he's really forming into himself, which got, I'm pretty sure, football future Hall of Famer Zach Ertz waived by the Cardinals.
Yeah, right. McBride, the numbers don't lie. And yeah, if something weird happens and Murray doesn't go back, whatever, then you kind of could reassess. But as far as tight end goes, we know there's not many options, right? So unless you want to go the TE0 route and you're streaming tight ends each week, which is a disaster and super stressful, don't put yourself through that.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't stream.
Yeah, no, like you gotta look at the top guys. You're gonna have to reach for Travis Kelce if you want him. TJ Hawkinson's right up there. Sam Laporta, godsend. Kittle with the injuries always spooks me a little bit. Like, personally, I try not to draft Kittle. It just drives me nuts.
High risk, high reward.
You know? Yeah. And like, then, Trey McBride. And I think too, like, if you stick with, if the Bears stick with Justin Fields, which is not a sure thing, they could trade him, whatever. You got to look at Cole Kmet as well. Like, again, this is the frustrating part. You have a guy who we're like, this guy's doing great, but let's count still. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 single digit fantasy point weeks. And he's still one of the better fantasy tight ends because of the pop weeks. So that's what's so frustrating about it. That's why a guy like Trey McBride, you're right, is sneaky consistent. Even if you're getting me 11 fantasy points, if you're getting me consistent double digit every week, double digit, I'll take it over these big spikes.
That's it. You want consistency because obviously certain players are going to pop, like how Evan Ingram and David Njoku popped this week. But if you look at Njoku, like I'm not saying like, hey, go get him as like your tight end 3 or 4. No, but like David Njoku, Trey McBride, Jake Ferguson, actually maybe not next year for Jake Ferguson, but like a Cole Kmet, Njoku, Trey McBride, even to a guy like a Dalton Kincaid, they're those guys that are going to be there. Like I say, like what I would like to talk about where I feel like you win is that meat and potatoes, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round picks. Those are guys that are going to be there. Sometimes some people may take them. But then again, with tight end, you can't freak out because that's a one position. I feel like Travis Kelce and Kittle always go about 3rd or 4th round, sometimes 1st or 2nd, depending on where you're drafting and how many people are in your league. But tight end, I feel like I've had years like where I take Mark Andrews, for example, in like the 4th or 5th round, and then people see, oh, hey, good tight end's gone, and then you start freaking, and then it just kind of has a run on tight end because people are like, crap, all the good guys are gone, so we got to go and panic. Meanwhile, you sit back, you do some research. I'm not saying you like study this for like an exam, but at the same time, too, you want to be that guy that's not winning, you know, the toilet bowl or blanking on the title from the league. You don't want to be in that position. So you don't want the sacco. Yeah. That's the thing. How to avoid the sacco is basically what we call this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one guy, and he's not, it's not sexy, but it's that consistent. And I feel he's not quite there, but close. Cade Otton of the Buccaneers. Look at this guy. Like, Griff, he's getting you 9, 8 to 10 fantasy points average a week with some spikes, with a couple dips, but more often than not, he's right around that 8 to 10 mark. So that's almost at the cusp where I was saying, if he would be able to up that a bit, just to that 10 mark, you have a nice steady, you get him like at the end of the draft, you're not spent, and you got a decent tight end that you can set and forget, and you stack up elsewhere. Somebody I want to keep my eye on.
Yeah, it's kind of those like long reaches that like it's not so much high risk, high reward, but you know that it's like low risk. And because if worst case scenario, if they flake out or if they're not that good, you can always just go and like, you know, guys will come and pop out of nowhere. Guys will get you excited, kind of like next year, to a guy to kind of watch where he goes in the right situation is a Brock Bowers from Georgia. He's gonna be a stud. I just have worries with tight ends in their first years just because I feel like how everyone thought Kyle Pitts was going to pop, and he hasn't really popped. But then you look at a Sam LaPorta or a Dalton Kincaid, those are guys that have popped. So I feel like with Brock Bowers, he has that potential to pop. I'm not saying go draft him early, but he's going to be that guy where, again, he's going to be there for the taking. So I'm just saying, like, maybe if Brock Bowers goes undrafted in leagues, if Cade Otton doesn't get off to a hot start and Brock Bowers is in the right situation, he's lighting it up, you go and grab him.
I wonder if we'll see people reach a bit more on rookie tight ends because of Sam LaPorta and Dalton Kincaid, which I still feel is the exception to the norm, but for the right talent and the right spot, it might not be. Like Sam LaPorta was in a perfect position in Detroit. So it really depends where guys like that go, of course, but I wonder if there'll be a trend on reaching a bit because of Sam LaPorta, Kincaid, you know, I don't know.
It's basically this. Did they go to Iowa? Yes or no? Are they playing for Arthur's? Are they playing for Arthur Smith? Yes or no? And then that's where you decide. If they went to Iowa, you take them. Or if they didn't play for, if they're not playing for Arthur Smith, you draft them. If they are Arthur Smith, avoid it like the plague. Even though I assume with the Falcons do miss the playoffs, Smith is gone. So that
I hope so.
That's the big thing. So because if Arthur Smith gets gone, like I've seen people mad about it, where it's like this guy should be investigated. Why is he not using this? And I'm just like, He's a moron. It's not like people were thinking he bet unders. No, his dad took a gamble. His dad, who's a billionaire, I don't know if you know this or not, but his dad's the CEO of FedEx or the founder of FedEx.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's like the lease with Brad Tree Living. Arthur Smith's dad is the founder of FedEx. So Arthur Smith doesn't have to work. It's just he loves the game of football so much that he's a football coach. It's kind of like Brad Tree Living.
He's not good at it.
Yeah. And the same thing with Brad Tree Living right now, which we'll wait and see on that. But this is a football podcast.
Yeah.
Going back to Cleveland, just to finish things up, because I always like to talk about other people's teams. Looking at your schedule here, you guys have the Bears, the Texans, the Jets, and the Bengals. That 4-game stretch right there, 8-5. How confident are you going into these last 4 games? Because, look, the Bears are a team that are kind of in the mix there. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but they're a team that can play spoiler. The Texans, we'll see what happens with CJ Stroud with his concussion, even though I do feel like he'll be back by the time you guys go down to Houston. The Jets, well, they can jet. And the Bengals, also have been a very nice surprise with Jake Browning. I thought for sure after that Pittsburgh game, I'm like, yeah, they're done. But then again, we'll see. So how confident are you going into these last 4 games?
The Houston game is the most interesting because we have to figure now with how jammed up things are in the AFC. Tiebreakers are important, which is why beating the Jags was really good because you get that AFC conference win yes. under your tiebreaker belt. But you look at Houston, Tank Dell's gone, calf injury to Nico Collins. Like, how, what shape are they going to be in? You got to beat the Bears. It's at home. Browns defense is dominant at home. Friendly confines. Last time Justin Fields was here, Myles Garrett sacked them 4 times. Justin Fields has gotten better since then, of course, a couple years ago. But this is a game, I think, if you have Denzel Ward back, like I said, if you shut down DJ Moore and you can contain Cole Kmet, then you just have to worry about the running stuff. JOK put him on Justin Fields, and you have kind of that bit of a schmoz in the backfield with Dante Foreman, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson. If you can keep that under control, Flacco is smart enough and quick enough to get rid of the ball that I hope, like a Montez Sweat, won't turn into a game wreck. I love Montez Sweat coming out of the draft. Oh my gosh. So I think if you beat the Bears, you're feeling good. You got to at least get to 10. That's the common, but you, with all the tie breaks, who knows? You get to 11, you guarantee yourself a spot. I could see 11, but each game here, Griff, you can make a point like Browns can definitely win.
Yep.
Or it's like, man, you could also talk yourself in the other way. This is going to be tough. I'm predicting 11 wins. I'm going to put the good vibes out there. I'm going to say 11 wins. Maybe that's enough to get you the top wild card spot. And then if that's the case, I would love to face Jacksonville again in the first round.
I agree, because I think you guys will beat the Bears. The Texans, I think you can. It's that Jet game or it's that Bengal game, because yeah. those two teams are kind of – I think the Jets kind of have done enough to themselves to where they won't make it. Also, do they still have to play Miami? They play Miami, Washington, Cleveland, and then they come to New England to finish. But with the Jets, I just don't – unless they go on a run here and finish 9-8 even still, but I do feel like 10 wins is the minimum to get into the playoffs this year, yeah. no matter what. A nine-win team, may be able to squeak in, but I just don't see it happening.
Jets have to win out, like really, Jets have to win out to maybe and probably not. And Zach Wilson little puff up – okay, that fine. It's done now. So they're going to get figured out again.
It's win out and get help, which if you're in that win out and get help scenario, chances are you're not going to make the playoffs.
This no matter far the out? No.
Yeah, no, this far out, no. If you had the, like, you know, hey, you could afford to lose one down the stretch. If you're like, if the Jets were 6-7 right now, then yeah, it's more likely because they can afford a loss. But now I just don't see that happening. And then the Cincinnati game for you guys, I could very well see that being one of the Saturday night flex in ESPN options, as you know, because I would say Sunday night football, but I think that game is going to be the Buffalo Miami week 18 game. That's going to be Sunday night football that week because of what's up, probably going to be on the line there because, well, let's just say this Miami kind of opened the doors. But going back to this week, I want to say one quick degenerate point before we go. It's a PSA for everyone out there last week who clowned Patriots and Steelers saying it was going to be a bad game. It was going to be 3-0. Boy, do I have a surprise for you. Thursday night, Aiden O'Connell versus Easton Stick. The under is 33.5. Do not even second guess it. Take it. And also, Andy, coming up on Christmas Day, Philadelphia plays New York. So I'm going to tell you this right now. A Boston Scott anytime touchdown will be waiting for you underneath the tree.
It always is. Oh, and that's on Christmas too. Got to do it. I wonder what the sports books say on it, because like we all know it as a joke and a truth. But I wonder, like, because if you look at Boston Scott anytime touchdown any other game, it's probably like plus 1,000 or something, right?
Probably.
But like, I wonder.
We'll wait and see. I know that last year I got it like, I think plus 450 or plus 500 during the first two Giant games in the regular season. And then the playoff game, I think it was starting to creep down where they were starting to get wise to it. We'll see what happens this year, because obviously DeAndre Swift has just been a monster. But it's just, even if Boston Scott doesn't score, it's just the funness of betting it because of the history with the bet. It's just, you know, he always seems to do this. He's done this pretty much, I think, 7 games in a row where he scores against the Giants. So as soon as I saw the schedule come out, I'm just like, you got to play it. That's just, I don't care if it doesn't hit. It's just ride it for the funness of it. And while you're eating your Christmas turkey, hopefully the bet cashes for you. So you got something to pay off the turkey or your kids' Christmas presents.
And you know what? He's got 0 touchdowns this year. There's time for 1.
And I mean, too, the Eagles are kind of coming out of the slump right now. And I would expect, I can honestly see that being the game where DeVito has his, like, you know, the clock strikes midnight on Cinderella.
Yeah.
Now, like what we saw with Josh Dobbs now. I'm not saying DeVito's going to regress to Dobbs. I think Dobbs is the worst quarterback than DeVito. But we all know that DeVito eventually is going to have that game where he comes back down. If he doesn't, though, the Giants have a serious problem this offseason.
It would be wild if he didn't, but you're right. It's going to happen at some point. Fun story in the meantime.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, I just want to say that with this Thursday's game, Chargers and Raiders, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be a fun game. The team that did not score a single point indoors. If you can't score indoors, or if you lose 3-0 indoors, that's a humbling experience.
Oh, what a mess. I think what's the interim guy's name? Pierce?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's been, you know, that ride where it's like, give him a contract now. That's why you don't.
No.
You wait.
It was a couple, even with Pierce, it was a couple of fun weeks where it's like, look, you beat the Giants, you beat the Jets, but then you kind of play teams that are a little above your pay grade, and it's kind of like, this is why the Raiders are the Raiders. So there's going to be someone new in charge there come next offseason. And with the Justin Fields thing, with the quarterback situation, they're a team I seriously think that would mortgage their future to go get Caleb Williams. Because if you're the Bears, dangle that pick out like a carrot over a horse, because some stupid team is bound to sniff on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We know teams go for quarterbacks, what they pay. Absolutely. I could totally see that. And Raiders are always a wild card. You never know what they're going to do. You can't predict what they're going to do.
Exactly. Because even the other thing, too, is my other dream scenario is that the Bears draft Marvin Harrison number one overall. And then
if he goes out, apparently he's being offered like 20 mil nil NIL.
He's coming out. I can't see a world where he's that serious about staying back to beat Michigan. I just feel like the NFL, I know college money's tempting, but I feel like the NFL is just, it's the NFL to where it's like, he's going to have that decision, you know, where they come out with that long paragraph. It's like, I want to thank everyone. I'm declaring
a
Bible verse under the bottom. I feel like that Instagram post is coming within like the next month.
Yeah. John 3:16 at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Psalms 21 or something like that.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, guy, take your mills. Come on.
Exactly. But anyway, Andy, want to wish you and yours a happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
You too,
happy
brother. New Year's. Merry Christmas.
You know what, guys? It's that time of the year. If you guys didn't see too, we got the nice little Christmas fonts. They will be here for the next couple weeks. We have week 15 preview coming up tomorrow night. But this has been episode 267. As you guys know, the road to 300 is continuing. So for myself and Andy McNamara, hopefully you guys win your fantasy football championships. And I'll say this too because I like Andy. Go Dogs.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.